We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! Beat the brakes off them sorry-ass, fraud-ass Hawks. I mean, that team, I picked them to finish in like the top four or five. I just didn't realize how soft and fraudulent these dudes were. They all soft as Trae Young's baby hair. Like, it is, that is the most, like they came out in that fourth quarter, this third quarter, starting getting the ass whooped. Nate McMillan to call the timeout, like, come on, bro. Like, come on, guys. Let's get the shit together. Immediately. Kevin Huerter does a Huerter, whatever his name is, does it up and down. The white guy with the red hair travels and boom, turnover. Like, it was almost the saddest thing. I've never seen a coach call a timeout that early in the third quarter and the team just give up after that. Like, the Heat went on like a 9-0 run after that. Anyway, I'm Alphonse Sidney, aka Alf954. Welcome into the Miami Heat Beat post game show, hangover time. Take me out, brass. If you are watching live on Twitch, thank you. We love you. Send those subscriptions, those bits. Donate subscriptions. Send some to Trae Young. Send some to John Collins, West Palm Beach native, because they tell us that every fucking time we saw.
Yeah, for real. Did you guys know that, by the way?
Wait, where is he from?
West Palm Beach, apparently.
Myers?
And apparently the motherfucker wants to come home or something because he don't want to play there no more.
We ain't got no room.
You talking about pushing me all game. You mad about Yurt?
Can't get in with the hat, man.
You can't handle Yurt, we'll need you.
No. Well, I mean, to be fair, Yurt, top five center in the NBA. But.
Well, you also can't defend worth a damn. But, and also, if you're watching the replay on YouTube, thank you very much. We love the YouTube viewers. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, all that good stuff. But try to check us out live on Twitch. It's a better experience. Get in the chat as a Rose Kenny. They call him Sid from Ice Age. It's just a really good time. Just come for the roasting of Kenny is the best part about the live Twitch shows. Now let's go ahead and find out what everybody's drinking. And also, I want to know your player of the game. Levine season one says in the chat, Tyler's not in the same conversation as Trey. He's beyond that. Let's be real.
I mean,
I take that straight to Moose. What are you drinking tonight? And I wonder who is your player of the game.
Oh, you don't even gotta ask, Mr. Let's be real and talk about the best player on the court tonight, okay? Mr. All-Star, Mr. MVP, Mr. Sixth Man of the Year, Mr. Number One in my heart, Mr. Tyler motherfucking Hero. I was one rebound away from making this a triple monkey shoulder and ginger ale, obviously. Ooh, no. But so we just got the double right now. But
it's Wednesday, Moose. It's Wednesday. Save some.
It doesn't matter, man. This guy had the game of his life right now.
We got back.
Even Anton, you might have a problem, Moose.
We got back to back drip drop nights this weekend. Come on, settle down.
Saturday. Saturday.
Okay, no Friday. All right, Tiff, what are you drinking, and who is your player of the game?
All right, so I got a little G&T in this solo. I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to say my player of the game is Coach Spo. That's it. Right. Take me out, Brass. I feel like I don't need to explain.
That doesn't need a lot of explanation.
No, not at all.
We were called
that man making, that man making ham sandwiches out of eggs. So,
what? Yes.
I get it though. That makes sense. Before the show, we were calling him. We were saying that's not even the Heat. It's the Heat cover band out here playing, beating the brakes off the Hawks and the Suns.
Double E.
The H-E-E-T Miami Heat. Go ahead, Brass. What are you drinking? And who is your player of the game?
I am drinking a drink called Vanilla Punch. This is actually the first drink I've had since the last show we did.
Oof.
That was rough. We had 3 nights off. That was well needed. So I know how this Heat team feels sometimes. So this is cognac. It's liqueur 43 and some lemon juice. And my player of the game, I'm going to go with a player that truly hasn't let me down in my heart like all season. It's Caleb motherfucking Martin.
Yes.
Dude, he is the dude. He has no... He's like, just get up and go all the time. 18 points, 10 rebounds. Shot 50% from the field and 2 of 6 of 3.
I mean,
and just in the defense that he brings, man, this dude is a Heat. He has Heat lifer written all over him. I hope he sticks around for a very long time.
Interestingly enough, we were talking about the Bobby Marks article with a trade every team is supposed to make or should make or he'd like to see them make. For the Heat, he said he didn't want to see a trade. Just convert Caleb's contract, which one of the funny things that we'll hopefully we don't talk about trades later. But if we do, I just don't understand some of their logic because we do have an open roster spot, but not really. That's Caleb's fucking spot. Like exactly. Caleb Martin is going into the playoffs on the 15-man roster.
And to Brass's point, what's amazing, he plays like it's not even guaranteed yet, which it obviously is.
Right.
But he brings that hunger every minute.
I thought it was interesting, and I was like, is that hyperbole? He called him maybe the best two-way player ever, and it's like, I mean,
I can't think of anybody else.
See it.
Yeah.
What other two-way players have you seen that start in spots?
Yeah.
And plays every game, and is this crucial to what they do? Hey, other team has a speedy point guard that's killing us. Caleb, go shut him down. That's not a two-way player. It's honestly, it's the best value I've seen the Heat get in a long, long time.
Long time.
Kenny, what are you drinking and who was your player of the game?
So I got the rum and coke again. I'm sticking with that. Player of the game, everybody in the world knows where I'm going with this. It's Mr. 90 million ain't a fucking enough. Get out of my fucking pockets. It's Duncan Robinson. Now, he was missing in the fourth quarter. I will admit to that, but don't bring up like whatever your shooting numbers was. I'm on the show with Tiffany Meeks right now. Don't bring up no fucking numbers to me. Fuck the numbers. Duncan Robinson, pay him more. I don't care. Take it out of your salary because you a dumbass. Take me out, bro.
Man, that's aggressive.
Moose, how funny was that fourth quarter when Tyler is trying to get a triple-double? Fuck that.
Well,
your eats first.
Exactly. That's what made it so funny. It's that you had two guys each going for like their own individual streak, which honestly, let's be honest, we never root for that with the Miami Heat. But even the guys on the bench were like pushing for Yurt at one point, then pushing for Hero. Like everybody wanted to have see their teammate have that moment.
They weren't pushing for Yurt. They were screaming at Yurt, let Tyler get the fucking rebound.
Well, not until they took him out. And then at the very end, the funniest part was Tyler got it right after the
ball. No. What should have been Tyler's ninth rebound, Yurt grabbed it, and the whole I mean, Struce was leading the charge, like, what the fuck are you doing? And Yurt's like, what? Like, they don't have triple-doubles in Turkey, apparently.
Tyler hates Yurt more than Alf does tonight.
Yours like I get rebound. That's what
that. It was fun. It was fun accent. To watch. It really was, and especially like in a middle of a blowout, it gave you another reason to like really still stay interested in the game.
Well, this is another one that was not feeling like a blowout. That beginning of the game felt like, oh no, we're going to start with this what feels like an insurmountable lead, and then we're going to cut it close, but it's because of our just fuckheaded read of the first, like, you know, 2-3 minutes. And, it did matter because, I mean, the entire second half, we were just roasting these dudes.
Well, I thought, honestly, Tiff, I thought the cuteness got caught up with them tonight.
Yeah,
I'm like I'm watching that that first quarter. I'm like, all right, Spo, all right. Listen, mad genius. All right, you got Deadman, Hero, and Duncan on the bench, and we out here like because your boy Yurt was struggling. Even Struce was playing poorly. Like they were, you know, it wasn't looking pretty. I was like, damn, we done got too cute. The luck done run out. But then. That's a nice thing about having Hero and Duncan and Gabe and all these guys on the bench. Yeah. Deadman, they came in and just beat the shit out of the Hawks, broke their spirit, and it didn't matter who played the rest of the game.
Right, and for the most part, I just think that they were just rusty. They've been off 3 days. We don't know how much physical work they've actually gotten in. So it literally just looked like they were rusty. I think also like. It's good for Yurt to like play against all these different types of people because like tonight they were just like bum rushing his ass in that first quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, the guards, the forwards, they were all just attacking him, physically pushing him off his spot. He couldn't catch the ball. He kept bringing the ball down low. I think he just was getting way too nervous and they forced him to kind of speed up his game because normally he plays kind of slow and methodical, but they were forcing him to have to speed up. I mean, honestly, he looked like trash in the first quarter, but then he started to figure some things out. But also, like, the teammates got him in the right spots, got some lobs, got some easy layups and things like that. But all in all, I think these are just the good spots, good moments that we need. You know, somebody's struggling, boom, pop somebody off the bench, let them come in. And I keep saying it, like, everybody thinks, oh, we got to cut it down to 7 players and 8 players and this and that. You're going to play who's playing the right way. And as we saw tonight, Spo kept tinkering until he started to figure out, okay, these guys got it, let's leave them in for a while and let them roll. So... These are good moments. Yeah, Yurt looked like trash, but he finished, you know, he looked kind of good at the end, but boy, did he look like trash.
It was rough, but, you know, Kenny, it's like what Tiff is saying. Everyone's talking about bundle these guys up. We need to make a trade to, like, for some reason, the Heat have too many quality players. I don't know what the point of it all is. But you looked at a night like tonight where Struce looked bad in the first quarter. Spo goes to the bench. He brings in Duncan Robinson. Duncan Robinson lights it up for the rest of the first half. Struce comes back in the third. I think he scored the first 8 points.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's nice to have options. I don't understand this whole consolidating rosters business.
Yeah, I think people just apply. It's like one size fits all. So they apply certain things that apply for bad teams. And they just – throw him on the Heat. Like, you got to trade a guy by the deadline before he leaves in free agency and you lose him. Like, yeah, no, bad teams do that because he's going to leave anyway. So you might as well get something at that time. Good teams, they maximize who they have. And so same thing with this consolidating the roster thing. Pointless. Because for one, you can look back however many years. Every championship has been won in maybe small part with some injury luck. And now you have this COVID situation. And so you need as many weapons as possible. And so, yeah, you can go ahead, you can consolidate the roster if you want to. And then the person you picked up in that trade is out in protocols in game 6 and you lose the series and you're out of the playoffs. You need as many weapons as possible. And so the Heat have that top to bottom, everybody's contributing. Leave this roster alone. Convert Caleb and let's go.
Yeah, go ahead, Moose. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say to back up Kenny, if there's any organization that knows the value of having a deep roster, it's the Miami Heat. 15 strong, okay? 2006. Brass, take me out.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if there's anyone that has a deep fan base, it's us, because we love you and all of your support tonight. We got a lot of subs. Eric the Great 539 gave out three gift subs. Let's see. Heat fan Ralph resubscribed with Prime. Vane Hype gifted a 1 month tier one sub to Trey Young. KYD Chan resubscribed for a month of tier one. Kerner Kid resubscribed with Prime. Kev Sizen gave out one community gift sub. Well, I mean, that's not how it's spelled, but that's fine. King Jock gave out one community gift sub, and Quez 312001 gave out 10. Community gifts.
Thanks, guys.
So thank you. Thank you to all of your supporters.
All of you guys.
You gonna hit them one time?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Fuck it. It's what I'm here for, you know. So I gotta hit them one time with a drip drop.
I don't have anything left in this cup, but I tried.
If I don't do that, the checks don't clear. So
yeah, you have a quota. let's go ahead and get to some clips. I'm trying to remember what order I told Brass. Now I feel bad again. Oh, let's go back to Deadman, because we haven't seen our boy Mr. Deadman in a long, long time. The garage has been closed down due to COVID health and safety protocols. You know, three of the mechanics got COVID. They had to shut it down for the holidays. But Deadman is back, and Deadman was out there doing the little things as always. So we got a couple of plays here.
My favorite, though, is that old black man that work on everybody's car in the black neighborhood. You know, you need a little carburetor fix or something, you go to him, he be talking to you whole time with his just hanging off his lip. What you got there now? What you got, a flimmer? Yeah, bring that back around here for my 4 plus. It ain't no goddamn problem. I'll put a carburetor on there for you. I used to work out of plant 15 goddamn years. I put a car right on there for you, nigga. Just bring me back a pair. Boy, you know what, boy? You look like your goddamn daddy. You don't look like you leave.
Okay. The first play. I don't remember what I said, but I know. Oh, this offense just like he normally does it, getting into the right position. He gets the Collins switch on him, gets there for the rebound, puts it right back up and in. Now, one of the things I'm not trying to shit on Yurt.
Come on, man.
This is one of the things that Yurt just does not do as well. Like, the offensive rebounds are there, but putting it back up, high percentage around the rim, like, Deadman just puts that work in, man, and I missed him so much.
That's fair. That's all valuable. But you didn't have to
fucking come over here.
He's not even there.
I know. I'm sorry. Thank God. This is especially why I miss Deadman this next play. Defensively, just being big.
Yep.
Get that shit out.
Fuck out of here.
You know what, that motherfucker?
Shit. Love it.
Shop's open, bitch. go back to West Palm Beach with your bitch ass.
See that again.
You from Boynton.
Hey, he was talking shit, too.
Yes, he was.
Even gave up on him.
Yep.
Yes, he was.
Bah. Bah.
I missed
As
that.
You should. Respect your elders, bitch.
But yeah, man, it was nice to have Deadman back tonight, and not just as a way to shit on Yurt, even though I'll take every advantage I can. But just the fact that you had another big out there, Tiff, when
yep.
you know, because how many times have you know Yurt's not playing that well, and you're looking around and you're bringing in KZ or Chris Silva? My God,
man,
holy okay. shit!
That's fair.
Like, we didn't I'll have to see have Chris that. Silva,
right?
Thank God.
Well, I think I said in the chat. In the first quarter, I was just like, oh, God, we got no rim protection. Like they were just skating to the rim, literally. Like, we weren't even standing out there. And lo and behold, who just shuffled on up?
Let me see that thing.
Put me in, young blood.
Yeah.
This girl's
in the interior.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Honestly, I bet he was talking. I wonder if he talked shit to Silva the whole way back. Like, motherfucker, do you know how to play backup five for the Miami Heat? Goddamn.
This supposed to be your job.
I had to come back in on my day off. Shit. I was like, I wasn't supposed to play the Friday, motherfucker.
So. Yeah, for real.
It was great to have Devin come back.
I mean, he my vacation he days.
He didn't miss it. He didn't miss a beat, though, man.
No,
he just always makes the right play.
Yeah, he's really smart.
Just smart as when it comes to just basketball IQ, just smart as fuck. Just always in the right place. And defensively, like it was driving me crazy sometimes where we're just not – just simple things like someone streaking to the rim, Tiff, and we're not even putting our hands up.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing happening. It's just – like, people are backing up, like, I'm sorry, Mr. Young, here's your layup, sir. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I just, oh. I think the thing, I, oh, go, Tiff.
I was going to say, as there was a hezzy situation.
Oh, man.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
This motherfucker. Listen, that's another, talk about missing people. I miss Devin, but now I miss Ruth Riley Hunter badly. Kenny.
Well, I want to one thing I want to say about Devin, what I love about him is he's got two distinctly different gears. Because he looks, when he goes out there, he's like shuffling along. If players don't know any better, they just take it for granted. It's like, all right, they just got this guy for the size. And then all of a sudden, it's like he turns on to a second gear. It's like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, what is that? Like, he just.
No, but the funny thing is,
yeah.
He has to rev up to that second gear.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
He looks like a cartoon character.
That's true.
Right.
But he gets there.
Oh, the Scooby Doo feet.
But he gets there.
Soinks. Oh, no, it's a fast break.
Soinks.
Those dangerous kids.
Kenny. One more thing I wanted to get to. PJ Tucker and Kyle Lowry play 28 minutes each tonight. After we're having 3 days off, right? One night off and then they're playing a back-to-back this weekend. Like, how important for you was that? The fact that Tyler didn't – I don't think PJ played the entire fourth quarter either. Like, those guys did not have to come in. There was no Captain Save them, like Tiff said. Like, you had these guys out there. So now you're missing – you're talking about two starters aren't playing. And Kyle and PJ. Bam and Jimmy aren't there. The rest of the guys brought you home on the road and kept two of your older veterans on the bench for the entire fourth quarter. That's big.
Man, I'm telling you, this team getting decimated with injuries and COVID, it's been a real big blessing in disguise. All these guys are getting this experience. They know exactly what they can do. Their confidence is all up. They were celebrating before shots were going in. PJ Tucker turned around before one of his shots went in the game. This team is real confident, and they haven't had their two best players most of the season. And so, I mean, that depth is just everything. And then as far as Kyle and PJ only playing 28 minutes, perfect. If I'm not mistaken, they're the two oldest players on the team aside from UD. So let them rest as much as possible. Just beat the shit out of teams. And speaking of that depth, I do want to bring up a point I brought up in the pregame show. For all the fear and the doom and gloom at times, right now, the Brooklyn Nets are playing against the Chicago Bulls. If the Bulls win, the Heat are locked in by themselves at number two in the East. This is mostly without Jimmy and Bam. And so this is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous team, especially now with all these guys knowing what they can do, having this confidence. People have been saying all year, you don't want to see Miami in the playoffs, and now it's just amplified because they have no weak. Well, they have players with weaknesses, but listen, they're going to be a real tough out if they're an out, and I don't think they're going to be an out. That's my prediction.
This really sucks. Looks like Derek Jones Jr. went down pretty hard.
Yeah,
a little bit ago.
He blew out it looks like he blew out his knee.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, it was like non-contact. It was. It does not look good. It does not look good.
Oh man,
that really sucks.
Man, shout out to a Heat lifer. Yeah, Derek Jones.
I love that
DJJ.
Guy,
yeah. Oh, that sucks. That's a damper on the game I wanted to watch when we got shit. Off of this.
Mm. Yeah.
But to Kenny's point, right now they're basically in a virtual tie with the Brooklyn Nets. Even if the Nets win, that means the Heat are only two games out of first.
Right.
I mean, it's right now they are sitting so pretty, and there's a lot of talk about Bam and somebody else that I think, I don't know if it's Tiff or Siobhan don't want to hear about anymore in Depot.
I'm pretending his ass is still Clark Kent right now. He ain't playing. He ain't on the team. He ain't coming back. So
that's what I've been saying.
How I look at it is, if this man is giving you 80% or better, right? Let's just say 80% or better, because who knows? I ain't a fucking doctor. Get boosted. That's all I know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You add in that, Vic, to this chaos that we got. Come on, y'all. This is, listen, I saw them run roughshod on Brooklyn in Brooklyn. Right?
Yep.
With all the white dudes just shooting the shit. Jimmy in the passing lanes, just fucking up everything. So you telling me y'all want to swap out four of these dudes for fucking Thad Young? Come on. Listen, this is who we got. This is all we got. And this is what you're going to work with. Right?
I do want to.
This is it's enough.
And this is all we need. Seriously, but it's,
but if you work it the right way, it's enough. You're as good as your options, and Spo got plenty.
Right. Last year, we needed Depot. We were excited to get Depot because we needed him. The team wasn't going to do shit without him. This team looks good even without our best players. So we're in a good position. It's just the Depot thing is icing. That's icing on the cake, man.
It really is.
Don't read it. I'm not gonna.
That's visual only.
Tune in to visuals.
Exactly. This is why you watch live on Twitch.
Speaking of dangerous whites. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say if Depot comes back and he is like, you know, as long as he doesn't get hurt and he is anything above like 50% on the floor. That's a plus, man. That's a huge win.
If Chris Silva can find minutes, we can get some minutes from Depot out.
It's true.
Think about it. We're like, oh, maybe there's a buyout. Your buyout is sitting on the bench.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah. It's done.
Exactly. Oh, they need to make a move to fill the 15th spot. Convert Gabe. It's all in-house. Like, that's the thing that's crazy. And you know what's funny? And we're going to get to Gaga of the game right here, speaking of dangerous whites. The funny thing to me is, like, this season, after what we've seen, like, them be able to be successful without Jimmy. Last year, whenever Jimmy or Bam was hurt, it was a fucking nightmare, right? Like, we'd see Bam put up these big numbers, but we were losing a lot of those games. Then whenever Jimmy would come back, when the team with Jimmy last year had the same win percentage as the Bucks. with Jimmy playing. Without Jimmy, they were terrible. Mm-hmm. This year, without Jimmy, like, let's say Jimmy tweaks his ankle in the playoffs and has to miss two games. Are you that scared of Max Strus starting or Caleb?
Right.
Absolutely not.
You know what they can do. And you've seen them play against top-tier talent. We're not talking about just beating the Kings or beating the Pistons or even tonight, like, beating the Hawks. They went and beat the Suns. They've beaten good teams with those guys playing big minutes. So this prepares you. Like, if Bam has to miss some time and you're going with a Deadman Yurt front, you know, 1-2 punch at center, you're not that afraid. Like, last year, I mean, when you knew those guys were hobbling into the playoffs, you knew – I mean, after the first two games, you're like, this shit is done.
Nobody
this year, they have a lot of ammunition to throw at other teams, even if they lose somebody. But – let's go to the Gaga guy of the game right here. So I did not pick a dunk tonight because this shit was too nasty right here.
This is all you need.
Here you go. Rim protector Tyler Hero. Hit everything.
Hit him one time with a drip block.
Tyler Hero for defensive player of the year. Send it in. Book it.
Go, Kenny.
Go. Why not?
He ate his Wheaties.
MIP.
And they put his hand on the backboard and still finished with a great game.
That's apparently for the fact. Apparently, for the past few years, it only takes blocking shots to win that award anyway. So
yeah, well, you just have to be the center on a good defensive team to win that award.
Yeah.
Since Bam's hurt, give it to Hero.
Tyler's had some amazing games this season, but this one, like, the whole time I was grinning ear to ear, man. I just loved literally everything that he did tonight.
It was just his most complete game, Brass. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
He was. I said in the chat, he was bouncing off the walls like he snorted a line of culture.
Yeah.
But, like, he was just so, like, he was so hyper, just, like, moving around, but, like, in the best way. It's not, he never looked flustered. He always looked like he was just, like, focused, and he kept that same energy the whole time, man. It was so good.
You know what's funny about Gaga? It was either going to be the Tyler Block or the missed Yurt dunk where he tried to kill a man. Yeah, like, oh, I needed that shit to go down. So, even, I don't care. Like, I needed that dunk to go in so bad, but. Yeah, he had he got it off the ricochet and dunked it again.
So even with the miss, I'm happy for him trying that because he typically doesn't play aggressive at all. And so, yeah, go for that. Miss, I don't care. Go for that.
Yeah, usually he would have shot the floater there.
Yeah.
That he never makes, by the way. just reach your fucking Monstar's ass arm out there like Jordan and dunk that bitch. What are you doing? But you know, as much shit as I talk about Yurt, he doesn't really put together a lot.
Yes.
Does he doesn't put together too many bad halves in a row.
No. He learns quickly.
Yeah. Exactly. And look at the progress that he has made on his interior post moves from when we first got him at the start of the regular season to now. Like, even
I would say just even from the first quarters.
Okay, that's fair. But what I'm saying is, man, you're looking at the progression that he's making, not only through playing with Haslam in practice and all that shit, because that matters. But again, for all these guys, but especially someone like Yurt Seven, this stretch where we put so much on them, but they not only stepped up to it, they were dominating in their minutes. Like, it's just really Yurt Island, stand up. Tonight was a great game for him, man.
I mean, Yurt is playing really well. He's averaging, is it 15 blocks a game?
Yurt block. I don't know if he got an island.
15 rebounds a game.
No.
But
he's got an island.
Peninsula.
But
I'll send you in the DMs. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, y'all just chill. Just chill out. Chill out. The haters, the lovers, just pump the brakes a little bit because Yurt is he's playing really well. He's doing the things that we need him to do to win games. But just because he does that and he's making amazing rebounding numbers doesn't mean he's our starting center like going forward.
There's a happy medium.
I'm not saying that. I'm not Moose. Center.
Don't make everything about you. No, but there are people out there that I just calm down. And but you know when they call upon him, he has done an incredible job, and I'm excited to see what the future holds for Yurt. I really am.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. To Brass's point, just have fun with it. I mean, we're rooting for probably the best organization in sports as far as front office coaching. And so we don't have to play that role from the couch pretty much ever. Let's just have fun with it. Yurt's playing great for his role, whatever it is. Let's go.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is a lot of fun, man. When he came back in, I tweeted out they just because the lead dropped to like 13. Immediately, Yurt comes back in. You could tell it's a set play. He catches it at the elbow, just a beautiful little inside dump to, I think it was Strus or Hero, somebody just fed him for a layup. And I was like, look, it's point Yurt, because we saw that, you know, we saw that the other night. Like he's basically running. They're running the offense through Yurt, and like Carla Tiana pointed out in this game. It looked really bad when he ran the offense through Yurt, but that's because he is who he is. He's going to be inconsistent. But speaking of growth, that's from just what we call growth. Did anybody watch Insecure?
Insecure.
Yeah, I just had to watch this last season.
I was going to hit you with the phrasing, but
growth.
I was thinking about it.
No, yeah. Growth. Okay.
Tyler. I get it. Phrasing.
Growth. Kyler, and this because we don't have Bond tonight, I was like, I got to hit him with that eye test. Gotta show him Alf knows a little bit about analysis.
Hey,
no, I can never.
Tired of PER, EFG, QBR, PDQ, and QVC? Wait, what? Well, ditch the calculators and spreadsheets and check out the only stat that truly matters. It's time for Alf's Eye Test.
Stretch my analyst muscles real quick. Now, we have been saying, go ahead, pause, Brass.
Yep.
When it comes to Tyler, one of the things he's been playing excellent this year, right? But one of the things that even sometimes this season, especially in the last like few games, he's been making really, really poor decisions, bad shot selection. And then especially when he gets trapped or blitzed, like he's been making some poor decisions leading to turnovers or also just leading to really, really bad shots. And they talked about it on the broadcast a little bit. They said Spo had a conversation with them. And I just noticed a few times tonight when they sent a double, they sent a second man, he made these some really, really good decisions. So let it go, Brass. So he gets the ball here. They come up somewhere. So he's patient with the ball. They come up on the pick and roll. He gets Trae Young on him. So, of course, Bogdanović gets scared. Runs up and then boom, makes a good decision off the double team, gets it to PJ for the patented floater. Like that was Wade-esque with that splitting that double team right there.
Nice.
Go ahead, go to the second play. It's another one. They come. Beautiful pass and leads to the Devin foul. Doesn't get an assist for that one, but look at that. I mean, the angle on that pass, that pass to Deadman. This is something, and he had another pass like that too, I believe Duncan last game, where he's just completely fooling the defense, just taking advantage of these situations instead of just word to karate, instead of throwing it into the third row or taking a bad, like that used to be a bad turnaround fadeaway right there. And he's just doing the right things, getting the ball to the right
people. I love his this look at Kyle. His look at Kyle was right when he passes that ball, though.
He's like, look,
oh, yeah.
So great.
But tonight specifically, this combination of Tyler and Deadman, especially on the pick and roll, killing the Hawks. And again, this is something that we've seen Tyler progress. He wouldn't have made these plays last year. Maybe one of the two, not both of them. You know, like this is something that just comes with more progression, more minutes in playing, and having an offseason to actually work on it.
Yep.
And this was my favorite play, this next one. Just the recognition of the double coming, the trap coming, boom, right out of it. Like, that was beautiful. Like,
that is like D-Wade right there.
That was Dwayne Wade-esque. Like, you're taking advantage of Trae Young sucks defensively, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're taking full advantage of Trae Young there and just I mean, that was just beautiful. Like, just the anticipation, the recognition, go.
He should be living off that mid-range jumper right there.
Just
every
that
time.
That was beautiful.
Yep.
So good.
But I'm not as good as Bond, but that was my eye test right there. I just think that tonight he was making, the last two games, he's been making much better decisions when faced with pressure, faced with traps, faced with doubles, because, guys, that's what's going to start happening to him, especially without Jimmy and Bam out there. Like, teams are going to start game planning for him, and he needs to respond. And tonight, I thought he did. And I thought he did well against Phoenix as well. Just nothing?
No, I mean, I agree.
Oh, I thought I was waiting on Moose.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
I'm going to hit him one time. Great drive. Just keep it short moving, guys.
But did you notice John Collins was in every highlight? Sad.
Oh, my poor baby. Oh, yeah.
John, don't call me Joan Collins, because he looked.
One time before he Pierce.
Looked, I he looked really, miserable. I really don't want to talk about this, but this is the guy Heat fans are clamoring for in trades. And I won't leave it at that, because I really don't want to have the conversation. I'm really sick of – I've always hated hypothetical trade talk, but tonight was an example why you just let the front office do what they do. John Collins is not really
– He's good. Not PJ.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, shout out to the comment below, because I agree. I'll take PJ over John, especially for this specific team.
That's the thing. It's about this team and what they need. They need more PJ.
Well, and Bucks fans were saying that when we got PJ, that, oh, listen, he's going to drive you crazy the regular season, but wait till he gets to the postseason.
He's driving us crazy, but not in the way they thought.
He's driving me crazy with love.
I know, man.
Crazy about him.
I wanted to see jazz hands there. But, love. Hamilton.
I've been watching a lot of High School Musical. It's not even
that Musical was movie. That was very Jack from Will and Grace. So shout out to him.
Yes. Shout out to Sean Hayes. We know you're not watching.
Why not?
Yeah, this is not his show.
This is not his thing. But you know what the funny thing is? When I hear the trade talk, some of those they'll say like, "Oh, like Duncan and Hero for Ingram." Because you got to get younger. I'm like, you just traded two of your youngest guys. Like, what do we need the four of the future? Like, you can't trade your young guys for the future. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And if you think that, I mean, Duncan and PJ is going to get something done, like, I don't know. I just, when you guys put these trades out there and ask for trades, like, have an end game to it. Make it realistic. Like, Tyler and Duncan for Bradley Beal is not a real trade. You sound like fucking Lakers fans.
And I do want to – because I didn't want to bring it up, but I do want to address that because
– I don't want to talk about it.
I'm not talking about actual trades. I just have to say something because I really appreciate the viewers. I appreciate people following me, interacting and stuff. But I've always had a very deep and maybe irrational hate for hypothetical transaction talk. No, like, seriously, because I just want to watch the games and have fun. I'll do a little analysis here and there, but if a guy has a great game, the last thing I want to hear is about he raises trade value, whatever. That's just not fun to me. It's too much math. It's just fucking – it's these trades almost never happen anyway. Just let – you can do that with the people across the street. That's fine. They put those shows out. That's their niche. You can take care of that with them. But me personally, since my whole life, I've just always hated that. I just want to have fun watching the team in front of me. So y'all can do that.
Anything about the womb hating trades.
Like, when the trade is finalized, then I'll get into the fit and that stuff. It's fun. But just hypothetical stuff, there's no point already. The trades never happen. They never make any sense. Nobody understands salaries and contracts. Let's just let me, if anything, have fun with it. Send all your annoying trade stuff to at GNavas103.
Oh, yeah. He loves that stuff. Just going to say, if we were to actually listen to all these hypothetical trades and shit, and like we actually let the fans run the organization – just know that you would have traded away your only fucking all-star this year because it is the year of the Durant draft.
We didn't do that on this show.
I was trying to give you the out.
Never.
No, I know. I really want to see you just die out there on that one.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But to Kenny's point,
he's definitely
point,
going to throw up, isn't he?
He is. He can only take so much of that. He's going to get a stomach pump tomorrow. But all of the Trey talk, we used to slander Knicks fans and Lakers fans for that kind of shit. What? And we at times were as bad as they are, and it's frustrating. Calm
when
down,
do you think
people.
This started? Like, is it 2010? Is it the big three? Is it free agency special LeBron picnic shirt taking my talents to South Beach? Is that where it started, where the transactions like Woj and Shams know shit all about basketball? Like, they have no idea what they're watching on a night-to-night basis, but they're the biggest reporters in the NBA, because all they do is transaction. Like, I even have like Woj and Shams alerts, and like I realize all these motherfuckers do all day is just tell you who's getting signed where. Like, yeah. I don't even that's become bigger than the games. And it's like, when the fuck did that start? Was it 2010?
Yes,
it might have been. I think so, because I remember growing up, nobody cared about that shit.
100% for two reasons. In 2010, you had the LeBron James, the perennial, next Michael Jordan of his era, hitting free agency when social media is literally at its, precipice or peak. Like, Twitter was really, really hot at 2010. Yeah. And I know a lot of Heat Twitter specifically. We got on social media because of the whole LeBron thing.
I joined Twitter in the summer of 2010, exactly. Specifically to get LeBron. Did. Well, Dwayne News. Like, I remember that summer, I was clamoring for Stout Amare and Joe Johnson. Thought that was a future.
And I do want to say one more thing about.
Don't listen to fans.
I do want to say one more thing about the hypothetical trade stuff. I haven't said this on air before. I've said it online, but. You have to pay really close attention to who's reporting it and what they have to gain from it. Because if I'm like a small local guy and I'm looking for attention, I can just put some, like, let's say ESPN showed my tweet one time. I can say, put in my bio, I'm from ESPN. They usually say featured on, quote unquote. So they'll have these credits in their thing. And if you want a little attention, you can go after Heat fans, Laker fans, Sixer fans, and Knicks fans, because we're all the loudest. And if you notice, every time somebody, quote unquote, demands a trade, those are the destinations, because you want those fan bases talking. You want attention. You want a following. You want to build a following. And that's a cool career move. That's fine. I'm not mad at it. But the audience and the fans just have to be smarter in picking out what to listen to and what not to listen to. If it's not somebody who's already made it or whatever the case is, just kind of figure out who they are first, what they have to gain from it. Figure out fit on the team. Why would this team want this player? Why would this player want to go to this team? Just kind of vet it yourself before you just go run to the trade machine and argue with people about whatever the case is. Because a lot of times these things are either made up from the person directly or made up from their source, because you have to throw somebody off sometimes so you don't mess up your relationship with the team. And so just – I guess people have fun with trade talk for whatever reason. I don't get it, but just try to figure out what makes sense and what doesn't before you just dive into it.
Go ahead, Moose. I see you raising your hand.
Well, I just wanted to say to Kenny's point, I do agree. You have to vet who you're looking into. I think some of the best local sources happen to be, shout out Deuce's Podcast Network. I would also say, Moose was the one that first reported LeBron James leaving Miami with the tow trucks. I was kind of a viral sensation, if you will, all over the world, AP, ESPN, and all that. So to Kenny's point, yes, make sure you're following the real, Heat local insiders that have the scoop.
And somebody in the comments actually did bring up a point that I forgot.
Oh, you got more. Okay.
Well, it's one last thing. You have to remember, for a trade to happen, both teams have to agree. And so whatever proposed trade you see or whatever argument you're having, figure out why would the other team want that? Why the fuck was anybody believing that the Pelicans would trade Brandon Ingram for Duncan Robinson last season? You have to just pay attention to these things before you just go out and believe them. Mm-hmm. Just vet it yourself.
I would say Kenny does have a point. Like, you got to be discerning in the trade talk, like who you're listening to. Like, I just see people get all up in arms because NBA Central sent some shit out. Like, NBA Central's not even verified. Like, what are we doing? Every time
some dude says, in his gym shorts waiting for his lunch.
Every time somebody says they want to trade, John Collins isn't happy. I emojis. Oh shit, John Collins next to Bam, perfect fit, blah blah blah. I don't know. It's just like, I feel like this is such a fucking fun season. And what we did was just waste 20 minutes talking about how other people are ruining the fun of games like this by talking about other people ruining it by talking about trades. How's that for
you? Heat win.
Barrow type situation there.
Oh, shit. Did y'all see Herder trying to get on that on Lowry? Thought he was at Magic City.
It's Kodak White.